Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love mornings. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from a reopening world with another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, May 23rd, 2021. And my guests today are returning champ Mark Ellis and two filmmakers that I'm excited to meet and talk to who are very far away at this time. So bless technology. It's Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. Hey, guys.
Hey,
what's going on?
Let's talk to everybody individually and also try to differentiate between everybody's voices. I think Mark sounds the most different of this group, but let's see. Let's start with first time guest, Justin Benson, no relation. How's it going, man?
Oh, it's going good. It just feels good to be talking to someone, a fellow Grossmont College attendee.
So you went to the same what do you like to call it, junior college?
Yeah, I prefer junior college over community college. I don't know
over why. Community. Yeah, community is weird. That just sounds like everybody got together to learn. But it's from I remember I had to drive kind of far to get to my community college.
And You know what's crazy? Actually, I think you and I also went to the same high school. Well, I went to Grossmont High School for 1 year.
Okay, yeah, I did the full thing there, but I loved it. I mean, looking back on it, I'm really like, whenever I see and hear about what kind of schools, I just didn't know other high schools didn't have like, they were just flat or like one building. Like Grossmont was such an interesting, you know, just the geography of it was so strange. The way it was just the layout of it was all terrain.
Yeah. Nice.
And all different sizes and types of buildings. Like you didn't, you know, every class you went to a different building and sat in a, you know, in a different shaped room. It was really, it was an interesting place. And they had like a full little theater on campus where the drama class was taught and their productions were produced and performed for the students and families and stuff. It was wild, like a four-year drama program. That's what I went through in high school. Like so many high, you know, obviously it's getting cut more and more these days, but even back then most schools didn't have that.
It was I the 3 years prior to that, the rest of my high school years, I was at Helix High School. And Helix High School and Grossmont High School were so wildly different. Completely. Like, I felt like I'd gone to another country at Grossmont High School. It was wild.
Lots of intros. And those two schools are on, those two schools are like on hills on two sides of a freeway.
That is true.
Yeah, it was very, very, very strange. But Helix felt so far away to me, even though, you know, I live down in El Cajon, so going to Grossmont every day was like literally an uphill climb, but then at least going home was mostly downhill, so that was fun. I could talk about this all day, but we have to talk to our other guests, who I do not share a name or schools with. Starting with and sitting next to Justin Benson, it's Aaron Moorhead, also no relation, I should say. And the two of you are working on a film right now, Aaron?
We've been pretty darn busy for the last, probably 8 months to a year. I mean, obviously the pandemic slowed everybody down for a bit, but we've been pretty nonstop for the last little bit. So yes, we're currently hard at work on, hiding in a bunker in an undisclosed location, making an undisclosed movie. But yeah.
Oh, so it's all a secret. You can't tell us anything about where you are or what you're doing. Well,
we can tell you a few things about what we've been up to. We did make a small movie, that we can't get into plot details or anything, right? Like, I don't think, not quite yet. But we did make a feature film while in lockdown. We're currently working on a few TV shows. We did one in Pittsburgh a few months back, and now we're overseas shooting one. Is that about, where are the limits of what else we can say here?
I mean, that's plenty. And I'm excited you're here just based off of, your past work and the fact that, people have just seen Synchronic on Netflix. It went all the way to number one on Netflix's movie chart. And I liked it very much. Anthony Mackie, of course, is hot right now. So that's terrific timing that he's in your movie. And he's so good in it.
Yeah. We're very proud to have that performance from him in the movie. He's such a nice, cool guy. And it was wild. Actually, that thing that happened when it was number one at Netflix, which probably had a lot to do with Anthony. I don't think that people are like, another Justin Benson Aaron Moorhead movie.
Oh, what's this movie called? Synchronic. That hits the algorithm. This random word we made up.
But it was pretty wild though, the day we found out, because first off, we're out of the country. And then the other thing is, okay, Aaron, I get this number wrong sometimes. We wrote that movie in 2015.
I think that's right.
Yeah. We wrote it in 2015, shot it mostly 2018.
I think so.
Yeah.
Or 17? I don't remember.
One day you wake up in Eastern Europe and somehow in 2021 and somehow it's number one on Netflix. It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the amount of time things take and, how quickly they can suddenly catch on. It all seems to have happened so quickly when it was really a lot went into it. My first question for the two of you, and I'll get to you in a second, Mr. Ellis, is why does it always say a film from Moorhead and Benson? How did Aaron get top billing? Because, as a Benson, I know that alphabetically we usually do pretty well.
Oh, honestly, I know that it sounds like I might have like taken some kind of front thing, but all it comes down to genuinely is 10 years ago, I won a cage match. And I bit off Justin's left ear and I just won. I won because of that. And that's it. That's it. So from here on out, just because he's afraid of me, we haven't switched it.
Well, that's fair. And it's always, even like with these other projects you're doing now, it's always co-directors, but Justin is the writer.
Yeah, but the place where it gets tricky is like a lot of the, I mean, the movie, for example, the movie we just did, we were writing, directing, producing, acting in. Aaron was a cinematographer. I was camera operating. We both edited it with our third editor. And like, we have collaborators. It's not like we're doing everything, but you get into this space of like, well, you got to make credits, but really everyone's doing everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I guess the precedent has been set by the Coen brothers, you know, kind of share some credits, but you know, some others they take singularly and, you know, they're happy with the arrangement apparently. And this seems to be working out great for you guys, but let's quickly say hello to my Schmodown friend who he can tell you all about it. Cause he's great at talking. Mark Ellis, our champion, is back. Hey, Mark.
It is a thrill to be back once again, Doug. And just listening to Justin and Aaron talk makes me exhausted. I don't know how people make movies. I love watching them. I love competing in games that feature movie trivia. I have no idea. I set up my camera and my mic in a hotel room to do this show, and I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. I don't know how these guys do it, but I do agree that Moorhead and Benson sounds more like a filmmaking duo. Benson and Moorhead is a law firm, and you don't want to give out that image. So I think that Moorhead and Benson is probably the right way to go. That makes me want to see movies. I actually saw Synchronic. I'm a fan of it. And I have a super hot take for you, Doug, and not just because your two guests happen to be behind that movie. I personally enjoy Synchronic more than the Police album Synchronicity, which is a scalding hot take, but I stand by it.
Damn.
I have to disagree. As the filmmaker of Synchronic, I think Synchronicity is a better piece of entertainment than Synchronic. It's a classic album.
I'm also going to throw out there that, Mark, there was another world where you just really came out swinging and you're just like, listening to Justin and Aaron makes me exhausted. And then you stop talking.
I thought about doing that, but then a long podcast. Like hearing stories about maybe Aaron biting your ear off 10 years ago in a cage match. I'm like, maybe I don't throw too many barbs these fellas way just yet.
Well, you know, Doug and I are from San Diego, but Aaron's from Florida. You know how they get down. It's just, you know.
Even if I can't get down, I got a lot of people that know how. Like, it's everybody.
I'm from Virginia. We just want to be nice to everybody. And I know the big question on all of our listeners' lips right now is, Mark, tell us about your high school. Doug, it was the flattest high school you could ever go to. It was one story.
Yeah, that shit's crazy to me.
One story. It was a Catholic school, so I guess old God doesn't like hiking up the stairs. So unlike the Brownsville Junction Motley Crue tune, smoking in the boys' room, we had no floor number two to go smoke it.
What about the roof?
Didn't do the roof. We did not do the roof. So I guess my lungs are healthier as a result of my schooling, my tutelage.
Well, Mark, it's great to have you back as the returning champion. And I know that the Schmodown that I competed in yesterday hasn't been seen yet by the public.
It has not been witnessed by the public. But folks, when I tell you, if you watch one movie trivia Schmodown match this year, there's probably other ones to watch, but Doug versus Chris Van Vliet was such a stunning, it goes down to the wire and then some is all I can reveal right now, but wow, was it fun.
It was exciting, but I made some mistakes that are just, you know, will haunt me because
you got lazy. You got lazy in one, but you recovered.
It wasn't even, I don't even know if lazy is the right word for it because I was very confident in my wrong answers. All right. I got a quick thing I want to do with, we play this game on the show. We're not playing it today, but it's called Whose Tagline Is It Anyway? Where we discuss the taglines. You know, the game is I say a tagline from a movie and everybody has to guess what movie it's from. And do you guys, how involved as filmmakers are Moorhead and Benson when it comes to like something like the marketing and a tagline that would be like on the poster?
Oh man. Oh, you've just opened.
Go ahead. Well, we've directed five independent feature films now. And I think especially in independent feature film marketing, you know, they don't have huge budgets and they just need, everyone needs all the help they can get. So they allow us to participate in the marketing pretty heavily. However, that being said, there's been a poster or a tagline or two, maybe internationally, that maybe
definitely
maybe makes you hurt when you look at it.
Yeah. Oh, we'll tell you is there's, it's like playing whack-a-mole with quality control of taste when once it leaves the domestic side, where it's like sometimes it'll come out in some foreign country, which is just a blessing to have happened at all. And it'll be like, wow, that's a really cool poster. I never really thought of that. That's a great tagline. And then a lot of the time you will want to die. It is the worst thing you've ever seen. And you had no idea it was happening until it's already on the shelves. And it's just awful.
Your indie drama's got a bloody skull and it says Cabin of Death.
Yeah. Whatever it is, like there is one that I won't name of Synchronic that is like the most Walmart DVD bin thing I've ever seen. And I just can't believe it happened, but it just slipped through the filter somewhere. So that was just a whiskey night. You know, you see that and you're like, it's like, you know, that's where you start licking your wounds.
Well, IMDb doesn't even acknowledge any taglines for Synchronic.
Cool about that is you can actually choose. Nobody knows this. You can just choose to not have a tagline. And a lot mm-hmm. of it, like, what's the tagline of like, there will be blood. I'm not saying Synchronic is there will be blood. I'm just thinking like, think of like the movies that aren't like trying to like reel you in with something really quick. Like, I don't know. The title's the tagline. You
know? I think There Will Be Blood wasn't the tagline. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
That's correct.
You know what? I'm wrong and you're right. And you just completely disproved my point.
Apologies. Hey, so your movie Spring, the tagline on the poster is Love is a Monster. That's pretty good, right?
It's pretty good.
That's a good one.
You know who came up with that was Drafthouse Films. Who have a heavy hand in Fantastic Fest, which we've seen you around at. But
I love it.
Good taste.
I love Fantastic Fest. I believe that's where I saw Spring.
You did. You were at one of those screenings. That's so cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I think so. Because I know I've seen it. So because that's the thing about Fantastic Fest, that like movies that play there, I either see it there or when it shows up, you know, at the art house or somewhere, you know, near me. I remember you hear titles over and over again at that festival that you didn't get to see. And so then when they show up later, you remember them and check them out. And for The Endless, I just thought it was interesting that like, it did seem like you guys might be behind the taglines of these movies, because Spring was Love is a Monster. And then The Endless is Time is a Prison. I thought it was interesting that there was
Australian tagline.
Okay.
And that's going off. Yeah. And that's just, I think, a coincidence. I don't know what the American tagline was.
Well, I love that. I love Love.
It might
have
been like Never Go Back or something. I don't think we had anything to do with it. I mean, it's fine. You know, it's a tagline. If whatever gets people seeing the movie, you know.
Yeah. Well, I thought of, you know, you can use this if you want. I thought of one for Synchronic that would be in line with, and I think work perfectly with the other two, because you got Love is a Monster, Time is a Prison, and Synchronic, I think, should be Drugs Are a Trip.
That's good.
Oh my God.
Doug, I like that, Doug.
Doug, we need to go back in time and change the tagline.
Well, that's... because the original one was Just Smoke Weed Instead.
It did seem to make me higher watching that movie. Now I got to ask you guys, before we start playing some games, to do our weekly visit to Recommendation Nation. That's where each of my guests recommends one film that they think people should see or would enjoy seeing. And hopefully it's streaming somewhere so that listeners can check it out. Mark Ellis, you can go first. What's your recommendation?
Well, as much as I'm cycling through my favorite taglines of all time, for instance, the Time Cop tagline, she died 10 years ago. There's still time to save her. Awesome. But
yeah,
I'm not sure that Time Cop, where Time Cop is streaming. So instead I'm going to point everybody, because I tried to go modern last week, Doug, with Godzilla versus Kong, and which I'm sure has a tagline like Alien versus Predator, whoever wins, we lose, something like that. I'm going back to 1984 and I'm going to cheer everybody up. I'm going to put everybody in great spirits because I think possibly the funniest spoof movie ever made, even better than Airplane or Naked Gun, is by the same guys that did that and stars a very young Val Kilmer, and it's called Top Secret. And it start to finish, the gags all hold up. It is one of the hands down funniest films I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's got everything you want. And it's I cannot describe this enough to people. You see the cover of it. You see a cow wearing boots. And that's the most normal thing about the movie.
I remember when it came out, the marketing, they really leaned into the cow in the boots. I don't think that necessarily worked, but even at the time, you know, people with a sense of humor liked that movie a lot. And of course it's become a cult sensation because of, like you say, the gags hold up because they're strangely even less so than Airplane and other movies like that. There's less pop culture references.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you just know, it perfect start to finish. It is so damn funny.
You know, magnifying glass gags will never go out of style.
Big phone.
Okay, good recommendation, Mark. Let's go. I like to keep it alphabetical. Let's go, Justin. What do you think? Can you recommend a movie right now on the spot from your secret location?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kill List, written and directed by Ben Wheatley.
Can I tell you something that you have in common? You have something in common. You have something in common with Ben Wheatley.
What is it?
You and Aaron and Ben have all been on Doug Loves Movies.
Shut up. Ben was on here. We met him. We met him briefly a few years back at a film festival, and it's one of those things where like we're such a kind of overused term, fanboy. We are big time fanboys of Ben Wheatley films. And it was really intimidating meeting him. Is he intimidating on the podcast? Because he's really scary in real life.
I mean, it is. I recommend people go back and maybe we'll pull it out and bring it, pop it back up, because it's so funny. He's on with what's the name of the guy who directed The Raid? Gareth
Evans.
I'm not gonna guess which one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Gareth. I was hanging out at the Toronto International Film Festival, and so I had a comedian friend of mine, Deb DiGiovanni, and I needed, you know, a couple other guests, and they, you know, the festival was helping me find guests. So we got those two directors, because one of them was there with Kill List and the other one was there with The Raid. And, you know, the Raid is, you know, arguably one of the most violent action movies ever made. That guy was like a sweetheart. But Ben, who also makes disturbing movies, to be sure, he was a bit of a prickly pear. Because I don't think he likes playing trivia games.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to tell him he's wrong. You just look down and there's a knife in your stomach. We always have this joke about him. but he's probably a really actually very nice guy. And
he was nice. Like he was easier to talk to when we weren't when we were on stage in front of audience doing it. It just wasn't, because Deb was really hyper and you know, she's really silly, fun comic. And she was real high energy and those two guys were giving nothing. So then it's an interesting episode, I bet.
Well, also I think it's hard to sit next to Gareth and by comparison seem nice, because he is just like such a sweet, nice guy. Yeah. That's a tough one. Also The Raid 2, I don't understand how that movie's kind of like Mad Max Fury Road, where you're like, this shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
People died making this, right? This is insane. It's
really wild
achievement.
Yeah, it's like but you know, to me it was like you know, I love The Raid too, but it was sort of like they took what was my favorite thing about The Raid was how nonstop it was, and then they put some stops in, but it's still good. It's just, it doesn't have that, you know, relentlessness that his first movie did. But man, that thing that he did for Netflix, Apostle.
Oh, I didn't catch that yet. Did you see
that? Yeah, that was cool.
It is hella rough. It is like torture. There's torture.
Yeah.
It's got torture and it is torture. All right. Kill List by Ben Wheatley. That's a great pick. It's a really, really disturbing movie. I saw it. It was one of the midnight movies at TIFF when I was there. And it was all fun and games until the movie started, because they were batting like beach balls around at this midnight screening. And then the movie just fucked people's shit up.
Oh, I would have loved to have been there for that.
Yeah.
Because it's not really fun scary. It's just scary.
that's the thing. It's like, it's on that list of like, you know, it might be like five or six movies from the last decade that is actually frightening. Like it actually is. It's not fun scary. It is just scary, scary. You feel like you weren't supposed to see it.
We talk about this actually all the time. This exact thing that is kind of like a, you know, it's pretty armchair fine wine conversation for horror enthusiasts, but like for the movie enthusiast in general, the conversation of like, hey, sometimes there's movies that are just scary and it's not fun to watch them unless you're just thrilled by the fact that you're actually frightened. And there's a huge difference between that kind of movie and movies that are out there that is like scary, but it's scary to entertain you. I don't mean horror comedy, but like, you know, it's a piece of populist entertainment and that's really fun, but it's fun. And Kill List is not fun. That is a hard workout, you know?
Unless it's on the same list of like The Witch, Hereditary.
Yes. You're just like, yes. I was just going to say The Witch, and I was just going to bring up the films of Ari Aster because I think they're brilliantly made, amazing movies, and they just make me incredibly unhappy.
Have you seen his short film? I'm going to get it a little wrong, but it's like there's something about the Johnsons or something like that.
I got to listen to him talk about it when he was on Douglas Movies, and it does not sound like something I want to watch.
Yeah, you have to giggle when you hear even like the lightest version of the premise, because it's so messed up that you just can't conceptualize that it turned into a film. It's like so messed up. Yeah,
that's not your choice, is it?
That's your choice.
No, that's not my choice. No. Mine is equally not fun. And it's Walkabout by Nick Rowe.
Oh yeah. My god.
Yeah, I just caught it for the first time this year. That one's streaming on I think Shudder or Criterion, one of those, or both maybe. But I wasn't ready for it. I was just kind of looking for something that was like Wake and Fright, which is one of Justin and I's other kind of favorite go-to actually frightening movies. And I found Walkabout, and they might as well be sequels. They're equally disturbing in that same way. And weirdly, like that gets categorized under Ozploitation, which you kind of think of as like low production value and low amounts of thought, and it's just not at all. It's like it's basically a piece of art horror, and it's wonderful. Yeah.
I mean, Nicholas Rogue, you know, is no stranger to making really messed up, creepy movies, and you know, just the setting, and it's just very, very memorable movie. And that Wake and Fright, I'd never seen it. And of course, I've seen tons of Ted Kotcheff movies. He's the brilliant director of the very first Rambo, you know, First Blood. And Wake and Fright was one of his first movies that he made down under. And that has got
Did you say you haven't seen it? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You have or haven't seen it?
I just saw it recently because his daughter is a filmmaker now, and she was on Douglas Movies. And I just, it was a weird coincidence. Wake and Fright was on like Pluto TV. So I had to watch it with commercials, but they didn't cut anything out. And man, that's a crazy ass movie. But if you're a kangaroo lover, by all means, stay away. They are there is real kangaroo violence in that movie. And it's, and his daughter told me that it's just, that's, they just captured what really happens. They just filmed real kangaroo hunting, but kangaroo hunting in the movie is also just crazy drunken asshole behavior. It's nuts.
That movie will make you stop drinking beer for at least 24 hours.
Yeah. It's this kind of wild thing where I'm seeing Ted Kotcheff going to Australia and being like, no, but the antagonist, they're like, okay, so is there like a serial killer that's like killing people in the outback? He's like, no, the antagonist is beer. The antagonist is beer. It's going to stop you from achieving your dreams. You're just going to get too drunk and you'll get stuck in the same place. It's this purgatorial place called the Yabba. And they're just like, so what? And he's like, I'll just put Donald Pleasance and it's fine. Don't worry about it. We got this.
Yeah, Donald Pleasance is like, you hire him to come in and make this nonsensical seem like it makes sense.
By the way, I'm extremely pro kangaroo and I never want to see one getting hurt on screen. And that is one of the most disturbing parts of actually both Walkabout and it's in Walkabout as well, but it's like an actual Aborigine hunt that they show.
Right.
But it is, it's rough. Those movies are very rough. They are going through a battlefield. It is not like fun to, they're not enjoyable, you know?
Well, we'll see how they do when I put them. I feel like Top Secret's going to run away with this one.
Yeah, Doug, but, I got to point out, no cows were harmed in the filming of Top Secret. So
yeah, that you know about, there's so many cover-ups.
Well, look, if a cow did get hurt, it was probably a Nazi cow and it deserved it.
Nazi cows are like, they're worse than human Nazis because they could really stay out of it so easily. All right. We have to take our first break and we'll be right back.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back and it's time for some games. We're going to start with one of my favorites. It's something that we call ABCD's Nuts. A few weeks ago, I was trying to remember what James Caan famously referred to himself as on the set of Elf, because I watched that documentary about Elf. And then I brought up that Jim, that he got up in front of everybody and said, everybody, I'm Jimmy the Dream. And that it just cracked me up. But then I couldn't remember Jimmy the Dream when I was talking about it. So the story really had even less of a point to it when I was just like, yeah, James Caan called himself something and it was funny. So, and I guess he did that like just because he was kind of notorious for being hard to work with. So he makes a speech to the entire crew at the beginning, calling himself Jimmy the Dream. So today for this game, which is a spelling game, we are going to spell Jimmy the Dream. I'll go to you one at a time. We'll start with Justin and then Mark and then Aaron, alphabetical again. I'll give you a letter in Jimmy the Dream. So the first letter is J. All you got to do is name any movie that begins with the letter J. But if you're lucky enough to figure out the theme and you can figure out what movie I wrote down in advance and you match me, then you win the game automatically. But all you have to do to stay in the game is name any movie that begins with that letter.
Doug, this game is insane. What is going on?
Jurassic Park.
J is the letter, and you say Jurassic Park, and I wrote down, of course, you can't know a theme yet, so going first isn't necessarily beneficial, but I wrote down Journey to Shiloh. Journey to Shiloh. What does that mean? All right, so the next letter is I, and we go to Mark. Any movie that begins with the letter I, or one that you think fits in a theme with Journey to Shiloh.
With Journey to Shiloh. I will say, I just hear Journey, so I'm going to go Into the Wild.
No, that's not it, but you got the very first two letters right. I went with a movie called In the Shadows.
Okay.
The next letter is M to Aaron.
I'm going to just...
Yes, Aaron, yes.
I'm going to apologize because I'm not familiar with those movies, so I can't even slightly guess the theme, so I'm going to go with Master and Commander because I like it.
Oh, Far Side of the World?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's only one, unfortunately. There should be 20 by now, but there's one, so yeah.
Oh, you think that movie could have sequels?
I think that movie should have sequels because I know that there's a giant book series because I buy my dad one of those books every year for Christmas.
What if you try to get another one going? Is that something you'd like to do?
Yeah. Yeah. That would be pretty amazing as long as they let us do whatever Peter Weir did.
That's what I was going to say. That could be the secret movie that they're working on right now that they can't talk about.
Yeah, wouldn't it be crazy? Wouldn't that just be the craziest thing? Like, wow, I would totally like that. That would be crazy.
I mean, doesn't sound like you're at sea. All right. Where are we at? Oh, I have to say what I put down for M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey Blue Eyes. Now we have another M. So we go back around to the start. We started with Justin. So what do you think for the second M?
I will go with Magnolia.
Oh, love that. Love that movie, but no. I wrote down Middleman. Middleman. Now here's an interesting twist in this game. This rarely happens, but once in a while you can't fit a square peg into a triangle hole. We have to skip the letter Y. I'll explain why after the game. So we're up to T now, the T from the in Jimmy the Dream. And next up is Mark.
Okay. Can I say movies that have the as the T? Does that count?
It does count. And I tend to not put those, in that position, but it could happen and it does count.
Okay, because I think I smell what the theme is, so I'm going to say The Godfather.
I went with a movie called T.R. Baskin. H is the next letter for Aaron.
I think I'm also caught wise to the theme, and I'm going to go with Howard the Duck.
Incorrect. I'd like to know how that fits.
I was kidding. I have not.
Good. I'm glad.
It just makes us sound smart when we act like we think we know what's going on.
Yeah. I really am sorry I called you on that. I wrote down Harry and Walter Go to New York. And the next letter is E for that goes back to Justin.
I'm going with Evil Dead 2.
I like it. El Dorado. D, Mark. It all came together perfectly for you.
Oh, boy. I'm just trying to think of what that theme could be, so I'll just try to stay in the game with the forgettable James Bond movie, Die Another Day.
That's a James Bond movie?
It is. It's one of the Pierce Brosnan ones. I think a car disappears at one point.
No, I believed you. That was my joke. R is the next letter.
Oh God. I thought it was, what's the name? What's the name we're trying to spell again? Jimmy the
Dream.
Dream. Got it. Okay. And I'm on R.
Yeah.
Oh man. I for some reason prepped something else, so I'm not on R.
We got off on the letters when I had to skip one.
Name literally any movie that starts with R. Please help me, guys.
Oh, there's so many.
I know, that's the problem.
It was just trending because
Return of the Jedi. There we go.
Yes. Oh, there you go.
That was what I was going to get in the world.
Okay. I went with Rollerball.
Very similar.
Yeah. E is the next letter. It's the first Rollerball, not the reboot. E for Mark.
Is right? It back to me?
Whose turn is it?
I think it's Justin or Aaron, I believe.
Thanks, Mark.
It's not me. I just whiffed on R.
I will go with Ex Machina.
Eraser. A for Mark. Now it's Mark.
Yeah, and I'm thoroughly confused as to what the theme would be, so I will take the critically acclaimed A film, Amadeus.
I went with A Bridge Too Far.
Mark, I want to talk about Amadeus for a while. I love that film.
Let's say that
Amadeus is in theme for a little bit, because I really love that movie. That's one of those perfect movies, I think. So
I think that Milos Forman is close to being one of the most perfect directors.
Yeah, he's got a damn fine record.
Yeah, he really knocked it out.
I said Amadeus then, because I was this close to going with Adventures in Babysitting, and I just thought, well, let's try to sound smart.
also a perfect movie.
Thank you.
Probably one of the best of all the Thor movies.
I was going to say Vincent D'Onofrio is my Thor.
A Bridge Too Far is what I went with for the A. And now we're down to the M. And Aaron, you get to name. I'm going to give you an option here.
Master and Commander again?
No. Would you like me to tell you the theme and then you get to guess and you get to have a hollow victory? Or do you just want to play it out? It doesn't really matter. The winner of this game, all they win is they get to go first in the next game.
Doug, I'm going to be honest with you. There is absolutely no chance of me winning this game. So I'm going to just name another movie. That's okay. What I have to do. There's just no chance.
I understand.
So I'm going to just say Mallrats.
Another great choice. I personally, that's my favorite Kevin Smith movie, but because I think it's the only one that has Michael Rooker in it. Mr. Ellis, he did not match me, but for fun, and of course for fun for everybody, anybody can say it. These are all films that feature Mr. James Caan, Jimmy the Dream himself. And the last letter is M. Who wants to say it?
Master and Commander.
Midsommar.
He did have an uncredited cameo in that, but that's not what I wrote down.
Wait, wasn't he in Christopher McQuarrie's first movie, Way of the Gun? No, that's not M. I'm just genuine.
Right. Was James Caan? James Caan was in that?
I think he was. I think he played one of the bagmen. I think he was. Mm-hmm. There's like a scene between him and Benicio del Toro sitting in the bar in that little place in Mexico where they have the shootout in my head, unless I'm confusing it with someone else who's not James.
No, it might be him. Yeah. So nobody's got a guess on a movie that stars James Caan that begins with the letter M.
I can't think of anything that James Caan is in that starts with M. I'm going to go with The Modfather.
I will say that he's been in over 100 movies, and none of them begin with the letter Y. Isn't that weird?
Google just beat me. I just checked it, and I know anything. What it is now.
Doug. Yeah, don't Google anything because you've already.
Doug.
Now all the listeners think that you can just Google shit through all the games.
They already know this.
I can't think of any James Caan movie that starts with M. Look, we all know his career peaked with the classic TV movie Brian's Song.
This movie has one of the top 10 horror movie moments of all time, maybe top five. The actress in the scene won an best actress. Stephen King wrote it.
Misery. Misery.
Yeah, Misery.
There we go. There we go.
There it is. Great job, you guys.
Really?
No winner officially, so we'll just play the next game. We'll play the next game with, we'll do the same thing. We'll go alphabetical, and we'll do that after this break. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back after a devastating round of ABCD's nuts. I know I don't follow the career of James Caan that closely. So a lot of those movies were new to me as well. So no reason to feel bad at all. And everybody's got such a great chance in this next game. And I'm so excited to be playing it with you guys because it's time for the feud. It's Filmily Feud. Very similar to Family Feud. But all of the questions are movie related. And like I said, we'll go alphabetically. So Justin gets to go first in the first round. And you'll each get to go first once. A tiebreaker is available if necessary. Here we go. Each of you will have to give an answer, but Justin gets to go first. We pulled 100 people. And ask them the following question. If you had to marry one of the films from the Scream series, which one would it be? Of course, there's been four movies in the Scream series, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Justin, you get to pick first. Which one do you think, when we polled 100 people, do you think most of them would marry if they could marry a motion picture and it was a Scream film?
Well, I think the polls would show that everyone wants to marry Scream 1.
Yeah.
I personally would marry Scream 4 because people just don't know a lot about it. It's kind of mysterious. I didn't even know it existed. Something about that.
Just because I'm sitting next to you, I get to contribute to that because I agree completely with what you just said. But also Scream 4 is the only one that I saw in the theaters, weirdly enough, because I was too young. I was too young for Scream 1, or I think maybe even 2 and 3. And so I've seen Scream 4 in an actual theatrical environment, and it was a meta movie of the meta movie of all of them. So yeah, I don't know. Anyway, sorry, that wasn't the question. Sorry, I just jumped in on
yours. But Justin needs to guess. He gets to go first, and he needs to guess which of those four did best in the poll.
I think Scream 1 did best. And if it wasn't Scream 1, it was 2, but...
Okay, well, Justin just needs to pick one, and that will be your answer, and you can't change it.
Scream 1.
Okay. Mark?
I would marry Scream 3, because I know it won't cheat on me, but I am going to say Scream 1 as well.
What is this, Hollywood Squares with the joke answer and then the real answer?
In the Alf Square today, Doug.
Yeah. Aaron, what do you think?
If we're going to the polls, I'm going to go with Scream 1.
But you don't get to go with Scream 1 because Justin picked Scream 1.
What? Wait, hang on. You guys have the same last name. And you're like, oh, it's all alphabetical. But actually, it happens to be the same last name. I don't want to go with Scream 2 or 3. I'll go. You know what? I'll rep 4. And I'll be wrong. I'm sorry. I won't be wrong. I will lose. But I will be right.
Possibly, yes. You might possibly lose. So, to recap, Justin has Scream 1. Mark has Scream 3.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron has Scream 4. So that means that Mark, you get the percentage in points and 4%. 4% pick number 3.
I'm not a winner then, Doug.
Hang on, because you still got a fighting chance here. And then the number 3 film in the Scream franchise got, wait a second, Mark said number 3. Number 4 got 7%. So that's what Aaron gets is 7 points. Number 2 got 9%. That's the second highest of all. But as you can imagine, as everybody predicted, 80% of the people polled picked Scream 1 as the one that they want to have in their life until death do they part. So that means Justin gets a whopping 80 points. He's way out in the lead. But as Mark Ellis knows, because he calls a lot of these kind of competitions, still anything could happen.
That's true.
It's anybody's game. And Mark Ellis gets to go first in this round. Mark, we asked 100 people, if you had to marry one of the films from the Scary Movie series, excluding the first one, 2, 3, 4, or 5, which one would you marry?
That's a great question. And the guy who said top secret for his movie rec is going to go with, I think Scary Movie 3 was the best of that franchise. So I'm going to go, I'm sticking with the 3s.
Okay. Mark's going with 3. Aaron, you get to pick next. Which one do you think? Between 2, 4, or 5?
I'm going to rep 2 because I think Well, I think they were very ready for Scary Movie 1, but I didn't think they knew how ready. And 2 was their chance to find out.
Yeah, I mean, the first two movies were really similar, and then it sort of went the way of the Zucker for the rest of them, 3, 4, 5. But although I think 5, did some of the people from the first one come back or something?
That's sure, maybe. Right.
I think 5 didn't have Anna Faris. Anyway, so what does that leave for Justin?
Just either
4 or 5. Which of those do you think, Justin? 4 or 5?
You know, I'm gonna go with Scary Movie 4.
Okay.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with 5? There's nothing wrong with 5. You know, interesting fact. I'm sure everyone knows this, but when Scream was sold, the Kevin Williamson script originally, it was called Scary Movie.
Uh-huh.
So that's, technically, yeah. I could say Scream 1 again.
Well, it's funny. They're just now, you know, making Scream 5. And it's so funny to me that there's already 5 Scary Movies. Like the movie that set out to parody the movie that was a parody has more, you know, now they're neck and neck. Now they both have 5. So I guess Scary Movie has to get to work and make another one. Turns out 4 and 5 both only got 8% of the vote. So Justin only picks up 8 points for part 5. But coming in at number 2 in the poll is number 3. So Mark picks up 32% or 32 points.
Okay.
And the big winner this round is Aaron, who picked number 2 and scored a whopping 52%.
I do I do want that on my gravestone. 52% Scary Movie 2, and that's the only thing I want on there.
I'm just here representing for Grossmont College. I'm going to pull this victory through for Grossmont College.
It was a really, really, really good pull, and I'm sure all Grossmontians are very, all the Foothillers, that was our mascot, the Foothiller. So the guy was had a big paper mache head that had like a some sort of like Davy Crockett hat on it or something. And I never knew what I still don't really know what a Foothiller is.
Yes. Did you just make that up and then immediately?
No, it's that we were the Fighting Foothillers, but I don't know what a Foothiller, I guess, is just somebody has to, you know.
Wait, you're serious? That was your school nickname? The Foothillers?
Grossmont High School was the Fighting Foothillers, which I guess just was because it's kind of the school's on the side of a hill. So I guess that's why they came up with that.
Were they like in a school board meeting and they're just like all shrugged their shoulders? They're like, I guess we can't do better than that. Like, we're done.
I don't know how, you know, mascots are chosen in very, very secret ceremonies. You know what I mean? Like, Gritty doesn't happen out in public. the Philly Fanatic. He was a bunch of people got together and created him in secret. What is happening? We've got a really exciting game here. Justin's still in the lead with 88 points, but Aaron is not far behind with 59. And our returning champion, Mark Ellis, has 36. And Aaron gets to go first in this third round. Aaron, which dude from the movie Fast Five, part of the Fast and Furious franchise, but from that particular film, which dude gives the best hand jobs? And I'll give you three to choose from. Vin Diesel, Dwayne Johnson, or Tyrese Gibson?
Man, I have no idea how to answer this.
I didn't bring up Chris Bridges in this poll because I hear his hand jobs are ludicrous.
Is it the character? Their character?
The poll, all I did was list the actors' names. It's very, I don't know how, if the poll were presented to me, I wouldn't know how to even begin to choose. I think all of them have very powerful grips.
I don't know any of these kind gentlemen in real life, so I'm going to go with their character. And I will say Luke Hobbs.
Oh, so that's Dwayne Johnson?
Played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay. Moving on to Justin gets to go next, right?
Yeah, I have to go with Vin Diesel.
You have to?
Yeah. Yeah,
it was kind of weird sitting next to him. Like, he got such a look of conviction in his face as soon as you asked the question, and I whispered. I said, like, Vin, right? And he's like, I don't you dare.
I just think that, like, under that tough exterior, there's such a big heart, and he's got that sultry voice.
But the thing is there, like, you don't even need to dig deep for Dwayne. He's right there.
Well, that's why I think it's just that. That's why it's one of those things. It's like, I don't know. It's just too obvious. Like, I think that maybe
he's the most present man I've ever
really
seen.
Surprising. Something very surprising.
Okay.
I really appreciate the amount of the discussion. I appreciate you guys taking it seriously. And Mark, how are you feeling? All right with being getting left with Tyrese?
I'm feeling great with being left with Tyrese, though, because, you know, I'm thinking in terms of who do I want a hand job from? And if you had the biggest muscles on earth, I don't necessarily want you tugging down there. I want you to be a little, I want some tenderness. I want athleticism is fine, but I don't need big, bulky dudes with huge biceps giving me the rub and tug. So Tyrese, I think, would actually give the best hand job.
Mark, I'm sorry, but like, what, like, do you think that they're incapable of love? What's up?
I just feel like they live their life a quarter tug at a time, and they're going to leave you stranded.
I got you. I will say, I mean,
you know, when it comes to Vin, I don't think Vin's great at that, because, you know, his family is so important to him, and you don't really, it's not a lot of that going on when your whole family's around.
Family's everything. I mean, that's true. That is completely accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. They did, Beck Bennett did a very funny Vin Diesel last night on SNL, where he just kept talking about how movies are coming back, but he just kept saying movies. Okay, so very exciting finish. Thank you all for being such strong and willing competitors. And it turns out that the poll that I took on Twitter resulted in Dwayne Johnson coming in third place of these three gentlemen with only 26%.
No.
It's true. That's what happened. I've got the receipts. Coming in second place with 30% is Vin Diesel. And that leaves a whopping 44% for Tyrese Gibson, but that is not enough for Mark to overcome his earlier, I wouldn't say failings, wasn't his fault, but Justin is, in spite of the fact that it feels like we're cheating because we have the same last name and we're both foothillers.
Sure feels Justin, like that.
Justin is our winner today. Congratulations, Justin.
Bruce Moore.
Go fighting foothillers. Climb up that goddamn hill. That was so fun. Congratulations, Justin. Your first time on the show, and now you're a champion. I know you guys can't say anything more about, you know, what you're working on right now, but when will you be, you know, like, when will you return to civilization? Like, when will you go back? What's that?
We're thinking we return somewhere around October.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay. So you're just in some exotic location making cool shit, and you'll be home in September. Did you say when? September?
We can't say much more, but we can say that gravity doesn't work the same way around here, if you know what I mean.
So. Oh my God. These guys went into space, everybody.
Wow. And then that's a good tagline too. Gravity doesn't work around here.
Yeah. What a great connection we have too.
Hey, Doug, when are we going back to Fantastic Fest? When's it going to happen?
Well, that's what they're saying is September. So if you guys are still in space, you won't be able to go. But they're doing it.
Oh, we might just.
We'll figure that one out. No, I'm serious. Like, if Fantastic Fest is on, that's just
if it's on and we can, we're there.
Oh, yeah, it's on September 23rd to the 30th.
Well, maybe October comes a little early.
Okay. Well, then I will see you there. Maybe you could be guests on Douglas Movies at Fantastic Fest.
That would be amazing.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, get ahead of ourselves here, get you too excited.
You had Cargill on. You had our boy Cargill. Cargill's our dungeon master for Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, he's great. He's been on the show. He was on the the last show we did where people were together in person, but we were socially distancing. We were like in a bar, and we were, me and my guests were all 6 feet apart from each other, and in Austin. And he's great, and love having him on the show. And he's one of those. I mean, Fantastic Fest is just crawling with filmmakers, and filmmakers have the craziest taste in movies of anybody I've ever met. So it's always just a free for all. What the craziest shit can play at that festival, and there'll be somebody that's quite the champion of it. And that's part of the fun.
Actually, I'm sorry. I'm kind of imagining six people. You said six people spread throughout a bar. Oh no. People 6 feet apart. That's what it was. They're they're spread apart in a bar, trying to record a podcast. And I just want to shout out to Ryan for making that not sound like absolute trash. Everyone's screaming at each other into a central mic or having their own mic and it doesn't echo. That sounds impossible. So that's really cool. That actually sounds like on a technical level, a spectacular achievement.
Yeah, it's all right.
Was it all right?
Let's do some plugs for Mr. Ellis. What do you got coming up, buddy?
I got the Schmodown featuring Doug Benson in one of the scintillating matches that's coming up. The podcast Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong, some stand-up tour dates. And look, I think what I'm going to do, Doug, for the rest of the day, I'm going to take some Synchronic and I'm going to go back in time and I'm going to say Scream 1.
Yeah. I think I always wonder in time travel movies, they're always going through time to do something important, but why not go back and try to win a trivia contest on a podcast?
Yeah. I'm interested to see what Butterfly Effect is going to emerge if I go back 1 hour. I am a big fan of the movie and I can't wait to check out the rest of y'all's filmography. So it's been a lot of fun being on the show with you, Justin, and you, Aaron. So thank y'all.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you to everybody. I'll be at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles with the Will You Accept This Rose podcast crew on Friday, June 4th. So you could see that show in person if you're in LA, or it'll also be broadcast virtually. So, just type in any of what I just said into your Google or whatever, and you should be able to find it. Thank you once again to my guests, Justin Benson, Aaron Moorhead, a.k.a. Moorhead and Benson, and Mr. Mark Ellis. As always, Don Corleone.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.